This is Pacifica's Peace Watch for Tuesday, December 17th, 2002. I'm Verna Avery Brown. The Bush administration appears to be losing ground in its PR campaign to convince Americans it's in our best interest to attack Iraq. Despite a concerted effort by the Bush administration, polls show that more than two-thirds of Americans believe the president has failed to make the case that a war with Iraq is justified. White House reporter Russell Mokyber, editor of Corporate Crime Reporter and a programmer on Pacifica station WPFW in Washington, today asked White House spokesman Ari Fleischer for a response to the polls.
The LA Times today published a poll that found that 72% of Americans, including 60% of Republicans, said the president has not provided enough evidence to justify starting a war with Iraq. Is the president losing the public relations battle here in the United States?
Well, one, I think that to state what is well known, the president will not make any decision about war and peace and the possibility of putting some of our nation's best men and women in harm's way on the basis of a poll. He will do it on the basis of his judgment as commander-in-chief and what it will take to save and protect American lives in the event that he reaches the conclusion that Saddam Hussein will indeed engage in war against the United States or provide terrorists with weapons to engage in war against the United States, just like on September 11th with the attack. And if he reaches that judgment, he will do so because the information he has and the judgment he makes suggests that, not because of a poll. I think it's also fair to say that when you take a look at a variety of ways to measure public opinion, you will see different things out there in the public. The Pew Research Institution has done work on this topic and has come to very different conclusions. So the president will not make judgments based on polls, he will make judgments based on what he believes is right.
According to the LA Times poll, the overwhelming majority of respondents, 90%, said they do not doubt that Iraq is developing weapons of mass destruction. But in the absence of new evidence from UN inspectors, 72% of the respondents, including 60% of Republicans, said the president has not provided enough evidence to justify starting a war. The results underscore the importance of the outcome of UN arms inspections underway in Iraq if the Bush administration expects to gain clear public support for an attack. The White House announced over the weekend that it essentially rejects Saddam Hussein's report accounting for its weapons of mass destruction. The director of the International Atomic Energy Agency said they had hoped for new information and that what was submitted was, quote, material we already had before, unquote. The IAEA director says it could take a year for inspectors to determine whether Iraq is free of nuclear weapons. During a morning talk show on WPFW, U.S. Representative Maxine Waters from California told host Damu Smith and listeners the administration is committed to going to war.
The president has wanted to do a preemptive strike on Iraq, and he never wanted it to work out so that there were no reasons to do it. He has been looking for any and everything that he can possibly find, and he certainly did not want the report to satisfy the concerns of this administration. He wants to go to war. They've tried everything. At one point, this administration tried to hook him up with Osama bin Laden and tried to say that he was connected to 9/11. The CIA, even, as bad as they are, said, well, no, that's not true. So I'm not surprised at all. I'm hopeful that the UN will be wise enough to do nothing to support a preemptive strike on Iraq at this time. Let me tell you, I think we're in a very precarious position. Not only does North Korea have nuclear, but so does Iran, and then all of the others, Pakistan and India and China and so forth. And I think that we're about to set off something that we don't quite understand. And it doesn't make good sense to talk about you want a preemptive strike on Iraq because you believe he's trying to develop nuclear and may have it in a few years, when in fact North Korea said, we got it. And so what? So what you going to do about them? This may sound Pollyannish, it may sound naive, but we'd better learn to try and sit down at the peace table and bring about some order and peace in this world. We're not the big bad boys on the block that can control and determine everybody's destination. We are but one entity with sophisticated weaponry. And we've got people who I believe are prepared to pull the trigger. I think North Korea is more dangerous than Iraq. And I think we'd better not ignore that.
Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Democrat of California. A group of over 100 celebrities has taken a stance on going to war against Iraq, and the consensus is, let's try another approach. They call themselves Actors United to Win Without War. One of the co-founders of the group, actor Mike Farrell from the television series MASH, joined Peace Watch and another member of the group to discuss their positions. Actress Janine Garofalo, who appeared in the film Reality Bites, acts on The Larry Sanders Show, and made a one-time appearance in Michael Moore's television TV Nation, says she's always been political.
In this particular case, I was turned on to Winning Without War by a friend of mine who was part of Winning Without War, and it made sense to me. And I, instead of calling it an anti-war movement, I sort of call it a diplomacy first movement. And their push for diplomacy appeals to me as a citizen and as a person who doesn't want to see an unprovoked preemptive military strike in Iraq, especially a unilateral one. I just happen to think it's bad policy. So Winning Without War just appeals to me on many levels.
Mm-hmm. We're also joined in this discussion by Mike Farrell. Mike, you played the character, most of our listeners will know, as B.J. Honeycutt on the TV show MASH. And you've also produced and starred in dozens of films, as well as being active in a variety of environmental and human rights issues. In the early 1980s, you starred in the TV movie Choices of the Heart, and you produced the documentary El Salvador, Another Vietnam, which went on to be nominated for an Academy Award. The roles that you take tend to have politics woven in as well.
Well, I suppose we all gravitate to things that are of interest to us, and certainly things that have to do with social policy and sometimes political policy are certainly of interest to me. I was lucky enough to be raised in this society and went through the public schools and learned some sort of fundamental things about what being an American means, and have also been lucky enough to have traveled around the world and seen some things on the human rights front and on the in area dealing with refugees, for example, and some other things that reflect American policy in a way that suggests that that policy doesn't always match the rhetoric that we like to think represents us. So, long answer to a short question. Mm-hmm. The things that I respond to in terms of both themes of motion pictures and scripts for television and the kinds of things I like to promote tend quite often to have something to do with social policy.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. You played a character in a war-torn area in your character of B.J. Honeycutt.
Mm-hmm.
Most people nowadays, particularly children, youngsters, the generation coming up, probably don't really understand the difference between the reality of war and the fantasy and the fiction that we see portrayed in TV and movies.
Well, that's an interesting point, and I think it's quite true, and it's also reflective of the attitude today that we see and hear people expressing about the horrible events of September 11th. A couple of years ago, the idea that America was the subject of such a hideous attack was a shocking event to so many people, all of us, obviously. But there is somehow has been translated into the notion that that was the beginning of terrorism in the world, and I think that bespeaks an ignorance of what has been happening in the world for so many years that has affected us because of the relative comfort in which we live. And that, I think, goes directly to your point that, what we know about war today is quite often what we see in television and in motion pictures rather than, in fact, see or experience in reality.
Mm. Janine, it can be a pretty slippery slope for actors and actresses who decide to sort of venture down that path of taking a high-profile position on a controversial issue. We saw how Jane Fonda suffered her career, some might say, suffered as a result of that. Danny Glover has taken a position on this war. Susan Sarandon, both of them coming out against the war, and we heard just this weekend, Sean Penn, and of course lots of others who have signed on to the Winning Without War campaign. Did you calculate the risk to your career at all when you decided to sign on?
No, I don't, and I actually don't think it is a risk to one's career. You know, like I said, being an actor is irrelevant except for it gets you media attention, and then also it is used against you. The actors are used to marginalize the anti-war movement in a strange way, if that makes sense. You know, there are thousands of people involved in the anti-war movement and in Winning Without War, the National Council of Churches, National Organization of Women, NAACP, Move On, Physicians for Social Responsibility, Veterans for Common Sense, Howard Zinn, there's members of the diplomatic and military community. A lot of those people have less chance of getting booked than myself and Mike Farrell. And then what happens is these media outlets think they can marginalize the movement by mocking actors and by somehow, as if we're some strange special interest group. You know what I mean? Actors are treated like a bizarre special interest group that have no right to an opinion. Now, whether it affects my career or not is irrelevant. You know, when the threat of, you know, on the New York Post last week, the front page, we will nuke you. Why in the world would I consider a career in the face of such inflammatory statements? But, you know, if nobody speaks up, it's almost as it feels as if we're going to be ushered to our demise as we allow Fox News and various other media outlets to make the war into an exciting idea and a foregone conclusion. You know what I mean? I just feel like so you must speak out, in my opinion, and your and if it hurts your career, which I highly doubt, that's not an issue.
Would either of you take a role right now that would portray someone going off to war in Iraq?
If it was a cautionary tale and a moral that shows the moral ambiguities of war, or if it was a very reasoned and even-handed accounting of war, sure I would. You know, that's a bizarre thing that other talking heads on the news have said. These actors want to have it both ways. They want to protest the war, yet they want to be in movies about war. As if what they're saying is, so Matt Damon wants to play a guy in the war, but he doesn't actually want to be killed. You know what I mean? That's a very bizarre thing to say, and yet another way to be disrespectful to people in the entertainment business.
Let me add a corollary to that, if I might. When Robert Greenwald and I started this organization, and we didn't intend it to be an organization, but what has come to be known as Actors Involved or Actors United to Win Without War, what we were concerned about was an administration that was pushing a policy down the throats of the American people with the help of the media, as Janine suggests, kind of without any debate. And the more we looked around the country and we realized that people were very concerned and more confused, but there was no or very little organized opposition. And our concern was that the kind of white noise that the media provided in support of the administration was very difficult to pierce. But we knew that celebrities, by definition, can get media attention. So we thought what we could do is corral the support of a number of people in our industry who have that status, that kind of celebrity status. And if we did so and simply made a statement that perhaps we would encourage other communities and other people in our society to be encouraged to speak out themselves.
So is there anything different about this particular war that causes you to feel so strongly, other than the fact that you're saying that it seemed to be taking place without the dialogue and the debate?
Well, I want to go on record as saying myself, like a lot of people, also protested Clinton's bombing. You know, so it's also not a thing about how actors don't like President Bush. That's another kind of idiotic statement that's been thrown into this situation. And I think that also you don't have to be an actor or on the left or the right to feel that preemptive military strikes are a bad idea. If I may add another element to this, one thing that distresses me about this particular quote-unquote war and the media, I believe that the media has become increasingly less willing to give all sides of a story, less information. There's a handful of corporations that own all the media outlets, And it seems to be there's much less debate and democratic dialogue about this particular issue. I think that, like I said, Fox News in particular seems to be, as Mike said, just shoving down your throat this idea that the war is a foregone conclusion. I think that there's been very little honest democratic debate going on as regards to Iraq and the quote-unquote war on terrorism. And also, I think there's just a lot of nonsense being slung around about anti-Americanism and being unpatriotic, mm-hmm. which is just a bully tactic to get somebody to shut up and comply. So that's been a problem on television, too, you know, just watching some of the news shows where there's people just saying that anybody who opposes the war is unpatriotic and anti-American. That's just nonsense.
Do either of you intend to actually travel to Baghdad, as Sean Penn did over the weekend?
I do not. No, I don't have any plans to go to Baghdad.
Mm-hmm. I don't personally see the reason for it. I mean, if there was a delegation of Americans going to Baghdad with that was put together by some responsible umbrella organization, I'd certainly consider it. But, those are the kinds of things that I don't think are, one, necessary and in some cases appropriate. It seems to me that, again, going back to 9/11, the rules have changed. The United States waged an incredibly powerful war, unfortunately, against the people of Afghanistan. And it was done in response to what was clearly an attack, but it was done with under the cover of the war against terrorism. That war against terrorism has now been expanded to include the nation of Iraq because of our dissatisfaction with, or their dissatisfaction with, the leadership in that country and some apparently exaggerated claims about what they either have or intend to do. I think it should be a source of concern to everybody in this country that the free rein that's been given as a result of the shock and the devastation that came as a result of 9/11, the free rein that's been given to the powers in this country should not be used willy-nilly to simply determine who are the bad guys in this world and simply go out and smite them.
Actor Mike Farrell, B.J. Honeycutt from MASH, and actress Janine Garofalo, whose latest films include Reality Bites and The Truth About Cats and Dogs. Media reports in Turkey today reveal Turkish military forces are entering northern Iraq in small numbers as part of a possible advance team for invasion. Many observers believe Turkey may be preparing to occupy and annex the oil-rich areas of Mosul and Kirkuk, which were part of the Turkish Ottoman Empire until 1918. Peace Watch's Aaron Glantz reports from the Turkish capital of Ankara.
UN weapons inspectors may still be patrolling the streets of Baghdad in an effort to disarm the Iraqi military and forestall an American-led war. But for the Turkish military, it's already begun. Reyhan Yelçıdağ is deputy director of the Turkish Human Rights Association. She's standing on a street corner in downtown Ankara, leafleting against the war.
It's a real risk. This means that to be a part of this war, not only to use the aircraft, airplane areas, but also the soldiers are now in inside the borders of Iraq.
Already?
Yeah. Thousands of Turkish soldiers have been entered into the borders of Iraq.
What are they doing?
They are making some arrangements for Iraq war. So this means that Turkish government is a party of this war. And we are against this.
Turkish military officials confirmed media reports today that an as-yet unknown number of Turkish troops stationed at Sinak near the Iraqi border have entered Iraq. 15,000 Turkish troops are stationed at the base, along with an undisclosed number of U.S. special forces. The Turkish army has 500,000 soldiers. It's the third largest in the world. Saduin Coppola is a member of the Iraqi Turkmen Front, an organization of Iraqis of ethnic Turkish origin. Tens of thousands of ethnic Turks live alongside hundreds of thousands of Kurds in northern Iraq. The Iraqi Turkmen have been the victims of multiple human rights atrocities coming from both the Iraqi Kurdish Army, the PDK, and Saddam Hussein's government in Baghdad. Coppola was imprisoned and tortured by Hussein's army for more than 16 years.
We need help and we need support, and we wish every country would help us, not only the Turkish. But if Turkey is there to help the Turkmen people, this is very good, and we appreciate it.
For months, Turkish officials have made noises about retaking northern Iraq, including the oil-rich cities of Mosul and Kirkuk, cities that were part of the Turkish Ottoman Empire until the land was seized by Britain and turned over to a favorable Iraqi king after World War I. Undeveloped oil reserves in Mosul and Kirkuk are valued at more than $10 billion. But if Turkey invades, the oil-rich lands would come at a high price, says human rights activist Karziz Bigig.
We are afraid that if the army goes to northern Iraq while doing this operation, they can launch a new genocide on the Kurdish people. They can do this. We are afraid of this. The U.S. is telling our country that no Kurdish men on our side can fight in this war. So we are very afraid.
The Kurdish people of northern Iraq have already been massacred twice by outside forces, by the Iraqi army of Saddam Hussein and by the Turkish army. And with another war on the horizon, another massacre is likely. For Pacifica's Peace Watch, I'm Aaron Glantz in Ankara.
Many labor and community leaders met in Chicago over the weekend to discuss the possible impact of the war in Iraq on labor and community services. Reverend Calvin Morris of Community Renewal Society was one of the speakers.
What we face as a nation has profound moral and ethical implications, not only for working people and other citizens of this nation, but profound implications for the world community as well. We face today an administration whose concern about working class people, concern about the poor, concerns about minorities of all kinds, people who are marginalized, the least of these within our society, who cares anything about the starving babies and mothers in Iraq, who cares about the least of God's people. We have an administration that leads this nation from the White House, that has no concern at all about any of the groups I have just mentioned. There has been a silence in this nation from those people who should know better. For there can be no war with Iraq. There cannot be, in Johnson's phrase, President Johnson's phrase, guns and butter. What we have is an administration that has committed itself to violence, committed itself to unilateral action abroad at the expense of the world community and at the expense of the American community. We have an administration that is willing to gauge itself and hundreds of billions of dollars for a war. Not a war against want, not a war against poverty, not a war against those twin evils of racism and sexism and classism, homophobism. No, it is a war against a people about whom we have no truck. For this administration's primary concern, and that is to acquire oil from Iraq. It is not because we are so concerned about the dictator called Saddam Hussein, for we have many relationships with dictators around this world. Some of them are our best colleagues and co-conferees. No, This is a war that is promised at the expense of poor people, working class people. An administration that has turned its back on raising the minimum wage. An administration that has turned its back on providing assistance for children, for daycare. An administration that has turned its back on any legislation for working class people while using its powers to protect not working class people, but to protect the titans of industry. Even in their malfeasance, this administration has sought to protect them at the expense of ordinary Americans. We are in a time, and I close, that calls upon each and every one of us, no matter what our backgrounds, our ethnicities, what neighborhoods we live in, what our circumstances have been in the past, to join and work together as one voice, indicating to this administration and to those who are its lackeys that we will not be silent in the face of this kind of injustice. It is regrettable, I know, that some people whose voices we would normally think we would hear have been silent. Perhaps they've been cowed by Al-Qaeda. Perhaps they've been cowed by this whole launch for against terrorism. Perhaps they've been cowed by a Homeland Security bill. Perhaps they've been cowed by an entrenchment and an encroachment on civil liberties. But we want them to know, we want the president to know, and we want our allies and our co-laborers to know that we will speak out. We will not be silent. If this war occurs, it will not occur because we have given our consent. It will occur because this president has believed that power by itself can affect change, that power by itself is moral, that power by itself is ethical. We come today to say there's another power above and beyond that power, and it is a power of justice, it is a power of morality, it is a power of ethics, it is a power that seeks the good for most people, and we will not be silent. We will speak. And so I applaud your presence here. I applaud the work that you have done, the work that you are doing, and the work that you will do. And I urge you to do so with the determination that no matter what the future might hold, you know who holds that future, and it is held by a deity, a significant other, a luminous darkness in a presence that is with us, whatever the issue may be, and that presence will see us through. We shall overcome this situation if in our hearts we believe, and if in our hands and feet we will work and fight and struggle together. God bless you.
The Reverend Calvin Morris of the Community Renewal Society. Thanks to Wayne Himbach for that piece. You're listening to Pacifica's Peace Watch. I'm Verna Avery Brown.